Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
The Disappearance Act of Lucifer is my message. Lucifer is very deceptive and subtle. And you're going to learn why this message came about, how this message came about as we go through here. But the name Lucifer, first and only appearance of Lucifer. His first appearance is found in the Garden of Eden. And he is not identified to the reader as Lucifer, but as a serpent possessed of him, appearing in his beauty and brightness. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 14, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He asked her a question, challenging what God had said. And then we all know what took place, the fall of man and eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so the man fell. They noticed and learned that they were naked. They hid from God because of their sin. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because he beguiled Eve and Adam, says, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, Scofield, I use a Scofield study Bible, and very common. It's been around for a long time. There are things in Scofield's notes that I agree with, and there are things in Scofield's notes that I don't agree with. It's a commentary, and you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. You don't believe everything you hear on TV or radio, or you verify and double check and make sure what that person or individual is saying is correct. So C.I. Scofield states in his footnote of the two verses above, the serpent, so the first part is verse 1, the serpent in his Adamic form is not to be thought of as a withering reptile. That is the effect of the curse. The creature which lent itself to Satan may well have been beautiful, as it was the most subtle of creatures, less than man. Traces of that beauty remain despite the curse. Every movement of a serpent, speaking of a snake, okay, is graceful, and many species are beautifully colored. You think of coral snakes, you think of a green boa, even a rat snake, though they're black, they sparkle. And they have a lot of beauty in them. So traces of that beauty remain despite the curse. Every movement of a serpent is graceful, and many species are beautifully colored. In the serpent, Satan first appears as an angel of light. And we learn that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The serpent's tool, so now this part of the footnote here, this is a footnote that appeared by Scofield, and this part appears in verse 14. The serpent, Satan's tool, is cursed and becomes God's instrument in nature of the effects of sin. From the most beautiful and subtle of creatures to the loathsome reptile, the deepest mystery of the atonement is initiated or intimated here. Christ being made sin for us, we learn that in 2 Corinthians, is bearing our judgment, is typified by the brazen serpent. It tells us in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And so what happened there in the garden? What happened there in the wilderness with the Israelites? Well, poisonous snakes were biting the people because of their sin, because of their rebellion, because they were provoking the Lord to anger. The Lord sent poisonous snakes, and they were biting the Israelites in the wilderness. It was one of the plagues that was not upon the Egyptians, but upon the Israelites in the wilderness. And they were dying from these poisonous snakes. And again, they brought it upon themselves. God told Moses to put a brazen serpent. What's a brazen serpent means? A brass serpent made of brass. On a pole, which is typifies sin, which typifies Christ, which we read in John, the Gospel of John, the serpent, the brazen serpent on a pole, and when they looked upon it, they would be healed. All they had to do was look upon it, and they would be healed. And that's the same with us. We look upon Christ, and we are healed. him on the cross. So Christ, who was sinless, became sin for us and was put on the pole, put on the cross and the cursed tree. And the serpent is a picture of sin that, like sin, bites mankind. He bites or dies spiritually. The serpent is a picture of sin that, like sin, bites man. Okay, mankind, we are bitten by sin, and we die spiritually. So, subtle, okay? It's an obsolete form of the spelling S-U-B-T-L-E. It means, in the old Webster dictionary, can mean nice, fine, delicate. It can mean sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating. It can mean deceitful and treacherous. And so that's what the serpent was. He was beautiful. Eve had no qualms of him speaking as a human. It didn't faze her one bit. His beauty stood out, and she listened to what he had to say in this serpent. And so that's Satan. That is Lucifer. The false apostles and prophets derived their deceitfulness from Satan himself. The scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, we would say don't marvel, but no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So that means you won't be able to distinguish him, but they'll look very polished. They'll be a great orator. They'll be a refined. They'll look very prim and proper. They'll look like, because we are very visual people and we gravitate to something that looks beautiful, that looks nice, that looks aesthetic to our, what we accept as beautiful, as acceptable. And so Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, something that attracts us, something that attracts us. We as human beings, in the spiritual sense, we walk in darkness, but we are attracted to something like light. Say you are in a cave and you're spelunking and you see light. Would you not go towards that light? I was in the Narragansett Bay. We were sailing from New Jersey up along the coast of Long Island. And you go past Montauk, which is on the end of Long Island, and you go right into fog. Good chance, 90% chance of you hitting fog in the summertime off of Montauk. And I remember, the wind dies down when you're in fog. There's not much wind, because if there was wind, it would lift the fog. If there's not much wind, the fog remains. And I was the navigator. It was late at night, and there was a freighter coming into the Narragansett Bay, and we could hear all this clanking. You couldn't see the ship, but you could hear the clanking, and then you heard a motor boat go in front of us. It turned out to be the pilot boat that drops the pilot that brings the ship into the bay. And so I was getting tired. I've been up all day. We were navigating, and I needed to lay down. And I told those at the helm that decided to stay up, follow the light. There's a light. I see a light. That's a marker. That must be a light or a buoy or something or a lighthouse. Follow that light. And I went and laid down. Well, that light somehow turned out to be a soda machine on a beach. Thankfully, the boat we were on didn't have that much of a draw. But by the time they realized it, I could hear them on deck saying, follow that light. Wait a minute, that's a soda machine on the beach. And so then I scrambled out of bed and got up. And we navigated our way we were on our way to Nantucket, but we had to divert to Block Island. But you follow the light. So we follow something that we think is light, but we have to discern if that light is dangerous or not, if there's a trap laid out for it. And so the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The king of Babylon and Lucifer are intertwined in the following important passage. Let's open up our Bibles to the Isaiah 14. And it says here, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So this is a picture of Israel coming back, being restored. It's future. It's still future even for us. This is talking about the kingdom age. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord. So the Gentiles that come in and the nations of people that come in, the Israelites will draw people to Christ, who will be reigning from Jerusalem. The people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captive, whose captives they were. So at one time they were captives and servants to the Gentile world, and now we will be, the nations will be servant to the Lord and Israel, and they will bring gifts, as I've talked about, in the kingdom age yearly, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And so we as children of God will someday be rulers with the Israelites in the kingdom age. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest. Okay, the kingdom rest is called the kingdom rest. The seventh day when God created, he rested. That was the Sabbath day, the day of rest. He rested. And remember, Saturday is the seventh day. And he rested so they rest from their sorrows and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Let me just go back to the rest. There's millennial rest. Man will have been on the earth for 6,000 years. Now, that doesn't fit the evolutionary style, right? That doesn't fit the narrative of evolution, but it fits the narrative of the scripture. And we take the scriptures to be more accurate than evolution. Evolution tries to look at the creation of the world or the establishment of the world outside of God's creation. They despise the word of God, and so they try to use science to explain the existence of the earth. But no, man will have been on the earth. So 6,000 years ago, Adam and Eve were created. We're very close to the end of that 6,000 years. The next 1,000 is the millennial rest, the rest that we will have the kingdom rest in that kingdom here on this earth. Verse 4, and thou shalt keep, now this is important, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. Babylon, the king of Babylon, talking about the king of Babylon now. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Talking about Armageddon, the mystery Babylon in Revelation 17. He who has smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. Now we're going to start seeing, you're seeing this sort of, the Lord is talking about the king of Babylon, but he's also talking about Satan here, about Lucifer, okay? Because the continual stroke, he who has smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. For 6,000 years, Satan has provoked the world and has created all kinds of disruption in the world. Constant conflict and war and murder and all kinds of things that take place in the world that we are experiencing ourselves in our present day and age have been going on for 6,000 years. And he that ruled the nations in anger. Okay, Satan, as a fallen angel, is angry and he has ruled the nations. He has pretty much dominated the nations, is persecuted and none hindereth. One day Satan will be destroyed. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. That will be the kingdom rest. So the Lord is going back and forth here, looking at Babylon, looking at the kingdom age, looking at the end of Satan. The whole earth is at rest. Verse 8, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. And talking again, it's talking about the king of Babylon, but also Satan, Lucifer. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Means many kings, many rulers, all through the ages are in hell. And they're going to meet Satan when he's cast into hell. They're going to meet Satan when he's cast into hell. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? All the might and power of kings that were on the earth, once they die, have no power, no strength, can do nothing, cannot remove themselves from hell. All their money has stayed on the earth, and they have no way of getting out of hell. And the same with Satan. Satan will be weakened in hell. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Now, again, talking about the king of Babylon, which is true, but also Satan. They're intertwined. And we'll see that. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials or violins and worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Bible talks about what in the New Testament, hell, where the worm dieth not, is an expression you find multiple times in the New Testament. So thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And the noise of thy vials, your violins, beautiful instruments, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Now, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The only time in all of Scripture you find the word Lucifer. All of Scripture, the only time you find Lucifer. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Okay, we saw that he that ruleth the nations in anger, we saw that in verse 6. It says here, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. What's that speak of? Pride, right? Full of pride. Satan wanted to be, Lucifer wanted to be like God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. We read that in that beautiful song that we sing from the Psalms. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan, Lucifer, wants to be like God. He wants God's throne. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. If you remember, those of you, when we did a study of hell on Wednesday nights, remember, in all your different versions, many of the versions, new modern versions, hell is removed completely from the Old Testament. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Remember, I've talked about a man can be an angel can be a man. Satan is an angel of light. They're calling him a man. It's actually Lucifer. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Again, there's sort of this tie between all the, not just the king of Babylon, but all the kings of the earth that have shook nations. Look what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine and with NATO. Satan, Lucifer, is ultimately behind all of that. But the kings of the earth, they're consumed by the work of Satan. Verse 17, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible. The true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Saints and